The wrongs, we must right. The fights, we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Nolene Blackwell is with me for the Hard Shoulder Bookshelf this week, the human rights lawyer, consultant, online safety coordinator with Children's Rights Alliance as well. Nolene, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Kieran.
So, I mean, it's kind of difficult. People always have a big long list of books they want to put up in the book. We only allow them to put up one book, though.
Yeah.
But we allow honourable mention of many more. Yeah. So what one book do you want to talk about?
Yeah, so, I mean, it is that kind of you're going, what one will I if I can only put up one? But the one I'm going to talk about is the one that I've actually been going around recommending since I read it over Christmas. And it's called She-Wolves. And it's about the women on Wall Street, the untold history of the women on Wall Street. And the untold history is often because they weren't really there at all. But it is fascinating because it's done by this American historian, Paulina Brenn. And she takes a kind of from the 1920s up to the time of the crash in 2008, 2009. So some of it you'd know, and some of it kind of I know from my own different experience in Ireland along the way. But you were starting at that stage. Women were reluctantly being taken into Harvard Business School in the 1920s. And then they were looking for jobs in finance, of all things, having done a business degree. And how they spent so long in the early days just trying to get in to do anything in Wall Street. And very often they were taken as typists, as pages, and the rest of it. And then come the 1950s, the 1960s, there was this woman called Mickey Siebert, Muriel Siebert was her name. She was the first person to get a seat on the New York Stock Exchange because she sounds like the most formidable woman. Do you know, just one of those people who is tall and strong and knows exactly what she wants. But she had to do things like she couldn't get a loan to buy the seat and because she was a woman. And even when eventually she got a letter of guarantee for the loan, it was only because the bank was certain they'd never have to own up on it. And then she went in and she set a pace. But it was just so little progress over time. It was a boys club. It was a men's club. Even some of the questions you got asked in the exam were things like, what would you look for in a wife? Or what do you find most attractive in a woman? And they weren't talking about women who were going to marry women. They were not talking about lesbian women. These were just set questions and they couldn't understand why they wouldn't be asked them. And so you get great stories then, like some women, one woman, for instance, got a job because she was a total expert on energy because she'd worked in Mobil Oil or somewhere like that before. Yeah, so you got some real experts. And one of them was invited once to go and talk at a luncheon club. And she went to the luncheon club, but it was the luncheon club said no ladies. So she couldn't go in. So they opened the window and she had to crawl in the window into where she was giving the talk and then crawl out again afterwards.
It's just amazing, isn't it? And so 1920s it starts.
This is the 50s. We're into the 60s now, Kieran. So, you know, and at that time as well, when Muriel Siebert got her seat, they did a profile of her, but the profile had a picture of her at her kitchen counter. And I brought in the book as well because there's another picture of this other woman around the same time was working on one of the new big computers hours that they had. And she was coming from Brooklyn and she had to be at work at 1:30 in the afternoon. She was on that shift. And she had a big chest, a big breast. And yeah. people wore sweaters at the time. There's a picture in the book of about 10,000 men queuing up to see the picture of this woman emerging from the subway going to her work on Wall Street. And you're kind of going, and she said about it afterwards, she said, these people are playing with millions of dollars and they seem to be out of their mind. And it kind of went on then like that. And then as it goes on, I'm kind of thinking, this is like my own experience here in Ireland of working in sort of quite a male-dominated industry.
Yeah, because I was going to ask that. I mean, in the legal industry, did some of these stories resonate with you?
A bit. But because of the amount, I never had that kind of amount of money or floating around in the work that I was doing.
No, but maybe the attitude.
Exactly. Like when I set up in, when I was a solicitor in practice in Tipperary, working in Tipperary, I was the only woman working in the place, and I had no legal background either, but I was the only lady solicitor, is what you always were back in those days along the way. And you did see, and I remember Moya Quinlan, who was the first female president of the Law Society, talking about the consternation when she became a member of the council and they didn't know whether to offer her snuff after the lunch and that kind of thing. So you had the same things coming up there, but what you did have too was a determination, which I didn't experience, a determination not to let women in. So the hazing that went on, the way that they didn't have toilets for women, the way that they would, some woman came back after maternity, there wasn't maternity leave, but she came back and they would moo at her when she wanted to express milk for a breast milk. And they had dares on about who would moo most. So that kind of thing. And then and then there are other great things in it as well, like around the 1980s, where Reagan became president. And this kind of resonates in some ways now with, because before Reagan, you had Carter and you had the sort of the misery maybe of the 70s or the sort of frugality of the 70s. Yeah. And they talk about Rosalind Carter turned up in the same dress for her husband's inauguration as president that she'd worn when he was inaugurated as governor a decade before that.
Yeah.
And then 4 years later, you had Nancy Reagan, who dressed to excess, you could say, along the way. And suddenly there's that kind of feeling that in America, she makes reference to it, that there was a thing now where there was the elite. There were the people who could make the money, who were the powerful, who were the rich. And it wasn't the America of before where everyone could be president. Everyone could do whatever they wanted. And that nearly started an inequality, which maybe we're seeing now.
Yeah.
And Trump comes up in it. Sorry, I'm talking about it too much, but I want to tell you some of the stories. They're great in it. Trump comes into it as well because he had his money with one of the big firms, I think Bear Stearns, Bear Stearns, one of the ones that went bankrupt in 08, 09. And he loved going down to see what his money was doing on Wall Street, but he didn't like having to sign in at the security desk. And even if he did sign in, he often got lost going down to the Bear Stearns and he'd come back to the security desk. So, because he obviously had a lot of money at that time, they made an arrangement for him, Bear Stearns did, and they hired models who were wearing very, very skimpy clothes. Women models, whom they called geisha girls. And two of the models would escort him and other people down to the office.
Oh, it's amazing.
And then some of the other women complained about that.
Yes.
And eventually they made them put on a bit more clothing than they were wearing. But geisha girls, that's what they were known. So then you come up to one women's brokerage firm really had seemed to have a new model in place because they brought their children in and they had effectively a creche in the office in the 80s and 90s. Now, but then you had, those kind of things were the exception. And the whole way through, you have it right up to the time of the crash.
Yeah.
And I often start my discussion on this by saying, do you remember the women's firm that was brought down in the financial crash? And people say, not really. And I say, no, because there wasn't one. And it's not necessarily because women wouldn't have crashed as well. They just weren't there. And now Wall Street is kind of finished as well. But it's a fabulous read.
Okay. It's called She Wolves, The Untold History of Women on Wall Street. And it's by Paulina Brenn.
Yeah.
by Paulina Brown. So pride of place on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Yeah. Honourable mention to a couple of different books.
Yeah, I like to have some poetry on the go the whole time. Okay. And I had a lovely book by Paula Meehan called The Solace of Artemis, which I kind of finished reading, and I want it on the bookshelf still because I'll go back to it again.
Okay.
But while I'm waiting to go back to it, I found another lovely book of poetry by a fellow called Nick Laird, whom I'd never heard of before, although apparently he's very famous for 20 years or more. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
And this is called Up Late. So, and I have one last book. Can I put one book up?
Yeah, just absolutely. Come on.
It's Cormac McCarthy's The Songlines. He's an American writer who died there. Yeah. I didn't like all his books, but I absolutely loved All the Pretty Horses. It had a different rhythm. It was like reading a book with a different rhythm all along the way. And I want the book, but I'd also, if I can, on a bookshelf, put up the audio tape.
Oh, really?
Of Brad Pitt.
Oh, Brad Pitt
reading
it.
All the Pretty Horses.
Is it good?
Oh, my God. It is absolutely amazing. Takes you into another world. He gets the rhythm of it, and he absolutely...
Oh, good audio. Read well is brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. What are you reading at the moment?
So I'm reading The Spinning Heart by Donal Ryan, which actually I've had for years. And I could have sworn I'd read it. But now that I'm reading it, I think I maybe started it or something and got distracted. But I'm loving it now. And I'm from Tipperary, and like it's that kind of...
It's in West
area
Tip,
as well.
Is it?
Yeah, it's kind of West Tip. Yeah, it is Northwest Tip. Yeah. Maybe for, and it's just that thing that it is. It's beautifully written, and you're taken from one bit of it to the next. And I do kind of think it must be fabulously well written, because some of it sounds so colloquial. You know, some of the rhythms, some of the way words are put together can't sound that easy to an international audience. And still it got all sorts of international acclaim. Yeah. I'm really enjoying that as well.
So you're always reading something, I take it.
Oh, yeah. I would find it very difficult not to have a book of it. I found myself once waiting for somebody in hospital for overnight. Yeah. And there was no book. I didn't have my book. And my phone had died or something. And nobody at the desk or anything had a book in the A&E section.
What did
I
you do?
I was really desperate. I couldn't wait for the little shop to open up to get one of the... I got a Western or something, which normally I wouldn't read at all. But just badly. Yeah, it's a great comfort. I'm the slowest reader in the world.
Are you slow reader?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really slow. So, and often, you know, I'm only reading it at night, 2 or 3 pages.
And then you fall asleep. The book hits you in the forehead when you fall asleep.
And then I have to go back on the last page I read as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm terrible for that. Yeah, picking it up. I don't understand who anyone is here. I have to go back a few pages.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But I couldn't do a Kindle. It has to be a real
book. All right. Well, listen, as real books go, She Wolves, The Untold History of Women on Wall Street by Paulina Brenn. Pride of Place up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Lots of honourable mentions. Paul Meehan's The Solace of Artemis, To a Fault by Nick Laird, All the Pretty Horses by Cormac McCarthy, and listen to Brad Pitt reading it if you can. Nolene, listen, it's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Kieran.
Nolene Blackwell, thank you very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
The wrongs we must right. The fights we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.